when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
On this week's episode of the Complex Sports Podcast, Marshawn Lynch joins the guys to talk about his investment strategy, what he's been doing after football, his love of the game, his thoughts on Tom Brady winning another Super Bowl and claiming Oakland, and much more. Let's get to it. What up? It's your man Chops. Brand new episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. As always, got my guys with me. Well, Zion's not technically here right now, but we got Adam with me. Zion will be here for our interview, big interview later. Adam, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know, life, trying to survive in this dreary existence.
See, you guys are so wrong. I listened to the end of the last podcast where I had to bolt, so I wasn't there. You guys closed out the last podcast for me.
What were we wrong
about? No football is so boring. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do right now. There's nothing. Nothing is enticing in the sports world without football.
Well, yeah, but it's a long ass football season. I'm ready for it to be done with. I'm ready to be done with the NFL's bullshit. And it's what basketball bullshit? Season it's about to be baseball season. So, I mean, listen, this is the dreariest part of the sports calendar, 100%.
No. Summer's the dreariest.
Yeah, but there's stuff to do during summertime. So it's like, if you want to get technical about when the worst part of the sports calendar is, have that debate. But like in terms of life right now with the goddamn pandemic and it being just dreary, disgusting, awful weather and
The weather has been terrible.
Yeah, it feels like spring is about a million years away right now. So, but I am happy to have football in the rearview mirror. Like
I'm going to be honest with you, and we talked about this with Marshawn. I watched the Fan Control Football League, Adam.
You did? You went to Twitch and watched that nonsense?
I watched Johnny Manziel play quarterback and run around. Yeah, my arch enemy.
What was it? Was it worth watching? Was it worth tuning into? Or was it?
It's way more arena football league than football. You know, it's like 8-on-8.
Did it feel gimmicky?
No, it didn't feel gimmicky. It just felt like it was arena. Like we've seen arena football, it felt like arena football. So I mean, it was something.
Did you call in a Madden play?
No, so I'm not. You got to be an owner. Which we'll talk to Marshawn. We talked to Marshawn about this because he's an owner and everything. Well, Marshawn was doing commentary. And he was amazing.
Didn't he suit up? I think I saw on social media he suited up.
I don't know about that.
Was that a marketing ploy?
Probably a promo. I don't think he's suiting up, but he was doing the play-by-play. ESPN should immediately hire Marshawn put Marshawn in the booth.
Aqib Talib?
I don't know. I don't know who else they'd put him with, but put him in there. Put him in the booth. Better than fucking, who'd they have this year?
For Monday Night Football?
Yeah,
Lewis Riddick and Brian Griese and Steve Levy.
Oh, okay. I like Riddick.
I like Riddick Griese. A lot. People get too wrapped up about the Monday Night Football commentators
because ESPN
spends a shit ton of money on it. I get it, but like, I don't think a commentator is bringing casual fan to the broadcast.
I think so much attention's to it, and not to get too off base here. I think they've gone after such big names and have struck out at them that's why there's so much attention on it. They went after Romo, struck out. Went after Peyton, struck out. Went after Breeze and struck out. Like, they've gone after all these guys, and all three guys. Like, Peyton's just said no. Romo stayed at CBS, and Breeze went to NBC.
And there's a history of Monday Night Football doing, I don't know if this may be too old of a reference, but right. Dennis Miller. I mean, bits, but some younger people aren't going to remember Dennis Miller being in the booth. And Dennis Miller, I don't know where the hell he's fallen, what abyss he's fallen into, but he used to be one of the best stand-up comedians in the, conservative?
I think he might be on the Fox News spectrum.
Oh, okay. That's why I haven't seen him in about, 10 years. Okay, that makes sense.
What did I miss this? Without NFL, I'm not paying attention as much. What did I miss in the NBA this weekend? Did anything happen? I saw Devin Booker got a little petty with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Booker, took a shot at Ben Simmons.
The Kendall Jenner thing.
Which NBA media did not reference in talking about their little...
I mean, obviously, they're not going to reference it.
They're not going to reference it, but it's a little tongue-in-cheek. Yes, the two of them sniping at each other because Ben Simmons said he's the best defender in the NBA. We can debate
And Booker
that.
Lit him up?
And Booker, yeah, Booker's been on a nice little run recently. And the Suns are red hot right now, one of the best teams in the Western Conference.
They're good.
You know, the Lakers right now just had their 7-game win streak come to a close. The Jazz remain the top
team. The AD thing is concerning.
And the AD thing, which we're going to put out our power rankings, or there should be out when you guys listen to this podcast. I would say right now, Anthony Davis's Achilles tendon issue is arguably the biggest storyline in the NBA.
Maybe.
It is, because if he's not healthy, I mean, again, the Lakers are going to do everything in their power to get him healthy for the playoffs. I don't really give a shit about the regular season. But if he's not healthy, and this is going to be a reoccurring issue throughout the season, this is the biggest storyline in the NBA.
Yeah, and you never want to – the Achilles stuff.
Yeah, Achilles tendonitis or whatever the official diagnosis is, like, this ain't good. And he's going to be dealing with this for a while. You know, as we record this on Monday, KD has a hamstring issue that is going to keep him out for 2 games.
He better not miss.
I know.
He better not
miss the Lakers game. Thursday night. Yeah, that would be a massive – well, AD ain't going to play in that game.
Now, AD's not playing, but yeah, KD better not miss that game. KD better not
It would
miss
suck
that
if
game.
We don't have KD and AD for that game on Thursday.
I don't know. If Zion were on for the intro, he would tell us that the Nets are trading for 8 people to fill in. But, okay. You know what's going on big in my world, Adam, right now? The pursuit of J.J. Watt.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Did you think it was that big of a deal when he got released on Friday? From the ESPN perspective.
Did I think it was ESPN front page first?
But think about ESPN, how it's celebrity driven.
I mean, he's a celebrity.
He's a personality. He's a celebrity in the name. NFL world. So that's going to be like front page, like breaking news, Sports Center, like grand scheme of things, should we be giving that big of a shit about a guy that only had 5 sacks last year and has barely played?
Here's the thing. But here's the thing, Adam. If you look at his stats beyond the sacks and his pressure rate and his double team rate, he was the most double-teamed guy in the league, and his pressure rate was still very good. His advanced metrics were still very good.
Oh, look at you dropping advanced metrics on me.
Because I'm trying to recruit him to the Browns. That's this whole thing. I didn't really want him because I didn't think that he was perfect. But some people have talked to me, explained that he's more of an interior guy now. He's not a true edge anymore. He's more of an interior guy, so maybe put him with Miles. But it was a big story. I mean, I think the bigger story is just the fall of the Houston Texans. Like, this team, a year ago, led a playoff game against the Chiefs 24-0. And now you have this pastor, Jack Easterby, whatever the fuck his name is, making a mockery of an NFL team. Like, how long before Goodell's like, yo, what the fuck are you guys doing? And he's like, get this fucking preacher boy out of here.
All I'm going to say about that is that religion is a hell of a drug.
I don't even want to get into it on a religious.
We're not going to get into that debate.
But this guy is clearly unqualified to have any idea of what's going on with an NFL team. And Cal McNair is, for some reason, letting him run the show.
Okay, as I've said numerous times, and as you a fan of the Cavaliers, who have been a shit show other than, you know, a handful of seasons.
Oh, you mean a championship season?
One season, pal. Relax.
But they still were one of the best teams.
Okay, but I'm getting at Dan Gilbert here.
What about Dan? I can't be mean to Dan. He had a stroke. I'm not going to be mean to him.
All right, fine. But the gist of this argument here is that it starts from the top down. And as a fan of two completely dysfunctional franchises here in New York.
See,
it's different with the NFL. Chops completely is. If your owner is a clown, it permeates throughout the entire organization. So if Cal McNair has been saying clown shit and hiring clown people throughout the entire organization's history, what do you expect otherwise? Like, how would you expect them to be a competent, like, you know, organized, relevant franchise? It's impossible. It's never going to happen.
You're right. And I mean, here's the crazy thing. So J.J. Watt's a free agent. He can sign with anybody. Come to the Browns, J.J., please. It'd be nice. They still are saying that they're not trading Deshaun Watson. They're still saying it, and they seem pretty locked in on not trading him.
Well, the Watson thing will be, it's like, how much, I guess, pressure can he really exert? And this is maybe the biggest test of player power, you know,
in the NFL
that we've seen.
It's not easy. It's not NBA style where you can, like.
And obviously Deshaun Watson ain't, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers level. He hasn't won anything, but he is ultra, ultra talented and arguably a top 5 quarterback. And the haul that Texans would get would be massive. But
The no trade clause is important because I think I read over the weekend, his list of teams is literally the Dolphins and the 49ers.
I don't blame him at all.
I mean, the Dolphins is like, I mean, I guess going to beat him in Miami.
Well, no, it's two things. It's Well, actually, Miami kind of has their shit together. That's number one. They have a good coach, number two.
Yeah, they're not, that's not a terrible team.
Number three, it's obviously an ideal city to go play football in. And number four or five, I'm losing
less
track.
Less pressure. There's no pressure.
Not even pressure. Dolphins, not even pressure. There's still no state income tax over in Florida.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Savvy.
Yeah. I think if he went to the 49ers, I mean, the Rams would be feeling away because, you know, you just trade for Stafford and then your division rival fucking gets Deshaun Watson.
And that'd,
you know?
And that'd be incredible division for quarterbacks.
It would. Yeah, no, it would. I mean, well, then there's the Russell Wilson rumors. Doesn't sound like Russ happy.
I find it incredibly hard to believe.
If Zion was here, is that he'd be saying the Giants need to trade for him immediately.
Well, he thinks they trade for everyone, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I find it incredibly hard to believe that Russell Wilson is going anywhere anytime soon.
I mean, why would you think that he wouldn't? I mean, look at the NFL right now. Look at the quarterback movement.
Yeah, the player empowerment movement is in full swing. But
it's not even that. It's just we're seeing quarterback movement unlike any other time. I don't think it's crazy to think Russell Wilson, like, in 2 years.
I kind of think it's crazy because I would feel that they would actually bend over backwards to keep him happy.
What?
You would think.
But what have they been doing?
I said you would think.
What have they been doing? They run the most conservative offense in the NFL.
Well, and also he runs for his life 50% of the snaps that he drops back. And
yeah.
He has legit gripes about not being protected.
Last week he did the most non-Russ thing possible, and he openly criticized the team last week. And when asked about a trade, he didn't shoot it down. He said, you got to ask the Seahawks. For a guy like Russell Wilson, who is his – I think we both interviewed him. Have you interviewed Russ? You've interviewed
Russ.
Yes,
he's a little bit milquetoast.
He is by the book as possible. He is never going to give you a soundbite. So for him to go on a radio show and give a soundbite like that, open my eyes at him. That's in Rap Sheet the week before said Seattle's getting calls about Russell Wilson.
Well, of course they get calls. I mean, it doesn't mean they're actually going to feel them.
But
when
you put it when you put it together, Adam, like the tea leaves, I don't know.
The frustration, I get that. It just seems really, 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 really hard. With a guy that you have been entrenched in now for a decade, took you to two Super Bowls, won one. And I don't know. I forget the contract situation is for Russell Wilson, but.
I mean, he's got a huge cap hit.
Yeah, but I mean, how long has he signed down, you know, down
I think road? Like 3-4 more years.
I mean, is this a ploy to get an extension to take him to age 40 a la time? You know, I don't know. But it just seems really hard to me to fathom that the Seahawks would do anything to compromise their good relationship.
It doesn't seem that good. It doesn't seem that good right now. It seems pretty fractured. Before we get to the Marshawn Lynch interview, which is really good, really insightful from Marshawn, your Colts sounds like they're not budging Colts. On. Sounds like they're not budging on giving a first round pick for Carson Wentz.
What would you Maybe give up a first move? Round pick for Carson Wentz?
I mean, it's 2 seconds right now have been offered for Carson Wentz.
It's tough to fathom.
Which still seems like a lot. Carson Wentz was the worst quarterback in football last year.
He was bad. And. If the Colts can get him on a discount and bring him and reunite him with his former offensive coordinator, maybe that is the savvy way to go. But yeah, right now it's based on the reports about how he kind of, bombed out the locker room, if you will. Or maybe that's a bad way of putting it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he was very popular in that locker room.
Yeah, based on the reports of how Wentz didn't make things easy in Philadelphia and the fact that he was god-awful atrocious.
Worst quarterback in football.
Yeah, it's first round pick seems a little lofty right now. For
I mean, 2 seconds seems lofty to be honest with you.
I mean, if space. I mean, again, I don't know if they're gonna. I assume they're gonna space out.
I mean,
two
here's
seconds.
The thing about NFL teams, Adam. They think they can fix anybody. These GMs and coaches are the most arrogant motherfuckers in the world. They think they can fix anybody.
Well, that I mean yes.
Success. I mean, we just saw Antonio Brown win a fucking Super Bowl. So like,
success breeds like, egotism. Yes, yeah.
Exactly. So like that's. Like, they think that they can fix any situation. So it's like getting Carson Wentz. Like, no doubt Frank Reich thinks he can get Carson Wentz back on an MVP level.
All right, why are we talking so much football? Football season's over.
Because it's exciting. There's nothing. Like, you just said that the biggest storyline in the NBA is Anthony Davis' Achilles. You just admitted that it's. I mean, as we go into March Madness, I guess we can get into. I just fair. NFL storylines. There's a lot of NFL storylines still going on, Adam. You have to admit there's a lot.
Another
of
quarterback and again stuff. because of all the quarterback situations, it has made this or will make this be the most interesting offseason in NFL.
And JJ Watt's a big name. You got a he lot is of big, he it's is still dominating the headlines.
He's,
I mean,
he's a celebrity name because he has 9 million Subway commercials.
I would love the NBA to in like the Lakers Nets this week will be great if KD plays. Hopefully, AD's probably not going to play, so it's not going to be full strength, but. I don't know what to
say. Yeah, the monotony of the NBA season has settled in. I'll give you that. Like, you know.
Yeah, it is. We're right in the lull. I mean, guys are pissed off because there's going to be an All-Star
game. I mean, this
would
technically be, like, again, if this is a normal season, this would be the dog days of the NBA season where you're limping to the All-Star break and just
there's not a lot of trade stuff, and people love the trades. Like,
and we have that's, well, the trade deadlines.
Who's the biggest guy on the trade market? Andre Drummond. That's not going to drive headlines, Adam.
Celtics have a massive trade exception to use. We'll see what they use.
I mean, I saw a Celtics fan say they should trade Jason Tatum yesterday. So,
well, you know,
I mean, are they struggling? I guess I don't know.
You haven't been paying attention. Yes, the
I mean, I know your man. I know your UConn alum, fellow UConn alum, is not a very popular person.
Kemba has not been playing well. No, the Celtics look like
did
a
Boston
mess.
Did Charlotte win that trade? Did Charlotte win the Terry?
Based on how Gordon Hayward's
scary
playing?
Terry's balling.
And Gordon Hayward looks like Jazz Gordon Hayward. So,
well, that's a different move. That's a different
You're talking about the Terry Rozier move.
I was talking about the Terry Rozier Kemba trade, which seems pretty. Okay. I mean, but Gordon Hayward is balling. And
you'd still rather have Kemba Walker over Terry Rozier, though, as your starting point guard
right now. Kemba looks washed. Kemba, I know you're a UConn guy. And
I'm
going to
cave hard for Kemba, but he's coming back from the injury. But he has.
I mean, don't. I mean, yeah, they look terrible. They look terrible. They got my guy TT looks washed. Bring him home. Bring TT back home.
They have massive debt. I mean, they have issues galore right now, but
Enes Kanter looks pretty good in Portland, by the way. Like they're just.
Without CJ and Nurkic, Portland's been very good.
Melo. You were so wrong about Melo. You've never been more wrong about anything than
I didn't personally think that Melo was washed. What I wanted to write about and talk about was that obviously he was being kept out and wanted to get to the bottom of those reasons why he was being kept out of the NBA. But he's been phenomenal. He's been awesome. And he actually looked good. He looked springy the other night.
He's got the braids back. He's got the Syracuse braids. He's looking
springy against the Mavericks.
Yeah, no, he looks good. Let's get to our Marshawn Lynch interview. It's very good. Zion's on there with us talking, you know, investments. Tom Brady, a whole bunch of stuff. Just Marshawn is one of a kind. If you've ever seen anything with Marshawn, you know that he's just fully Marshawn. So really fun conversation. Let's get to it right now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, so Marshawn Lynch, this is huge. Thank you for joining the podcast with us today. We are huge fans of you, huge supporters of you over at Complex. We really appreciate it, man.
I'm a big dog. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. And like, Marshawn, we got you on. It's really incredible how much you have going on, in like just from the business side of Marshawn Lynch. Like literally, it's like building an empire. Like from the Fan Controlled Football League to the Doty Blunts to the sports betting dimes. Like everything. Like everything's about ownership with you. And you're just building everything up. So I want to ask you straight up, if someone asked Marshawn Lynch about investment advice, what would you tell them? Like, what would you tell like a player who was getting into investments, like what they need to do to start off to get to like your level of where you are now?
To be honest with you, I think you know, the first thing I tell them is more so just, it's about education though. And you feel me though, getting it down to a point where you comfortable to where, you know, you'll be able to, step into some of these meetings, you know, just so you can, you know, hear the lingo, understand the lingo, just so, you know what I mean? When you get into those meeting rooms, you know, nobody is talking over your head. And then the biggest thing is that if, when you do get in there and there is some shit that you don't understand, don't hesitate to ask, like, what the fuck is that? What that mean? How you do that? Or why you do that? Or how you do that? Or can I do that? Or like, you know what I mean? It's more so just, you feel me though, making sure you educate yourself on what's going on.
Did that education start when you were still playing, or did that kind of really begin when you stepped away from the NFL?
Man, realistically, man, the education aspect of that started, I would say, shit, basically, you know, in college when these opportunities start, you know, coming your way. Because, I mean, a lot of times, like, we miss those opportunities because we don't see them and we so focused on our goal at hand, which is to, you know, make it to the league. But, you know, we sit in class, you know what I mean? Cause, you know, most of them go to school. So we sit in class with all of those guys who are going to be the next business owners, the hot thing. And, you know, we sit there next to them and we never really just go ahead and pick their brain on, you know, what they're going to have going on for after school. And it's crazy because, you know, as I look at it and I think about it, you know, just because of the way y'all formed this question is, some of my first purchases I'll say, like, you know, business opportunities, you know, stepping away from, you know, the athletic side of the game, you know, whether it was going to go buy a house. So, you know, you look at that, most people say, I just going to buy a house, but then it's more so a real estate play. And then, you feel me though, the people that helped me, you know, with that situation were individuals who I was in school with, let alone in school, I was on my team with. Now, at the end of the day, like, most of my teammates didn't go to the NFL, but then I had more teammates who started businesses. So when they see me out there like, oh, Marshawn doing good on the football field and blase, blase, woo, woo, woo. Oh, I got a business thing for him. Like, you feel me? Them not knowing that, you know, mm-hmm. bro, I've been going to class with you. I've been seeing what you got going on. I knew for a fact that if it didn't work for you in the league, you was going to be doing something.
Yeah, you went to a damn good school, yeah. So it's good you capitalize on those relationships.
You know what? I didn't want to say what school I went to. I'm just more so focused.
But brag, man. You went to a damn good school, man. It ain't easy to get into that.
The thing is, but it's not more about the school. It's just more about, you know, putting ourselves in those situations with those opportunities. Like, I mean, you know, the greatest ideas always come from, you know, individuals from those big schools. And I mean, you know, it's a lot of people right now who looking back like, oh, damn, I remember I played on a team with him, and whether it was at a smaller school or whatever, like, but damn, he doing big things now. Like, oh, you know what? I remember I used to holler at him all the time. He used to tell me he was going to be doing that shit and had that shit going on. And instead of, you know what I mean, getting into it, we focused on, oh, we got to do whatever we can do to go ahead and get to the league. And, you know, I think that's our first opportunity that we miss out on.
How much of that also comes from your life experience? Like, how much, like, when you form these businesses or you think about an investment to make, like obviously you learn, you know, from the school, but like, how much of your life experience is played into how you go about it and like figuring out what opportunities are good for you?
So the way that I go about it is, first and foremost, there's a few key points that I go into with when, you know, we're thinking about, when I'm thinking about, you know, putting myself and aligning myself with you know, these companies, businesses. And first is like, you know, how am I going to be able to turn this into an opportunity for, you know, just more than me eating off of this project? You feel me? Then I look at it as if it's something that I'm truly, you feel me though, genuine, either interested in, like I know for a fact, like I really rock with what they doing or what they got going on, or this is something that, you know, has been on my mind. You know, I don't know too much about it, but now I had an opportunity to go and learn about it. And then third is just like, I always ask myself, like, are you just doing this shit because it's a check attached to it? Or are you doing this because you want to learn something from this and be able to, you know what I mean, capitalize and be able to, you know what I mean, put somebody in this position, and or there's something that you might want to get into, you know what I mean, for the long run?
Is it sometimes where you're just like, fuck it, I want the check?
The few times that I have done that, I put myself in a position where I fuck myself up. And I'll say that with the biggest one would be the first time that I tried to retire.
Mm-hmm.
First time that I tried to retire, I put myself in a position where, you know, because I've always made a promise to myself, like, I would never play football for money.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I stuck by that, like, I'm talking about to the core. I mean, I never, when it came down to negotiating, I mean, I've never put myself in a position where I'm going and telling my agent, like, oh, well, so-and-so makes this much money and he makes that much money. And Blase, I've never been that type of individual. And it got to a point where I was, you know what I mean, so, you know, in a position where it's like, you know, I just want to retire at this point. You feel me? I don't want, you know what I mean? I don't want no more, no less. I just want to lead the game with what I got. And, you know, the team didn't see that as something that was they didn't see that as something that was going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, they played a whole spin on it. And at the end of the day, I was just trying to retire with the money that I had. And, you know, they made it seem like, you know, it was something that I was looking for, a new deal or something. So at the end of the day, you know, I tried to just go ahead and throw out the highest number that I could think of just so they would tell me, like, oh, okay, that's too much. You know what? You go ahead and retire.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? it played into my favor because I was able to get the number that they asked for. But then it was more so like, oh, well, you know what? Not, you know, it wasn't solely that I was playing for the check, but now it was to the point where it was like, I'm only coming back because they agreed to this number.
Yeah, no, definitely. So when it comes to something like the Fan Control Football League, what drew you to that? Because I think it's a super interesting thing where it's, I mean, literally something we've never really seen before. So what drew you to that kind of opportunity?
I mean, the concept, I for sure liked it, the concept, just because I see how much shit is so going so digital and just knowing like how everybody want to connect to their fans on a completely different level. And this league gives you the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, from an owner standpoint to a player standpoint, and then it was more so like I really like the concept of, you know, letting players, you know, be players and go out and be able to basically market themselves in a way that, you know, I won't say so much more it's about the team, but mm-hmm. you really get to show who you are on a completely different platform than I've seen with the NFL. But it also gave me an opportunity because, you know, I got a lot of, you know, I come from an athletic family.
Mm-hmm.
when I was thinking of it, I ain't gonna lie. Like I told you, I think about ways that it's gonna be able to benefit me, and you know, in the long run, as well as being able to put, you know what I mean, my people on. So you know, I know for a fact I had at least, I mean, I had a little brother, I had a couple cousins, a couple god brothers, and a couple, you know, just dogs that I know around Oakland that
you're gonna get them really in the league. Benefit. You're gonna get them, yeah, in the league.
That would really benefit from it. So, you know, I just, you know, make sure that I had more. I'll say more. It was more pros with this situation than cons.
As a Browns fan, I think I'm gonna sign up, and I can't wait to call plays for Johnny Manziel and just hopefully get him like sacked and hit and that kind of stuff. So I'm just gonna.
God damn!
What a hater! I'm Jesus kidding. Christ, Chops! Come on!
I hold a grudge. I hold a grudge, Marshawn. I'm
gonna just say I hope that he team, if that's the way you're looking at it.
You gotta reevaluate things there, Chops. Come on.
I would hope the fans not calling plays to get motherfuckers knocked the fuck out. But I mean, shit. I mean, as a player, you got to keep your head on the swivel at all times, just in case we got a fan out there like Chop who want to get your ass knocked down or something.
Yeah, who wants to go left with it? I'm sorry, I'm just joking. I won't do that, Johnny. Even though he did wish ill will on my Browns a couple months ago, so that's all.
Well, look, man, it didn't work. Y'all went to the playoffs after like 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years.
It didn't work. It didn't work. You're right. Marshawn, I got to ask you about this. And I know Zion wants to jump in here with some questions. He's a big fan. But these diamond-infused blunts, Marshawn, we got to ask you about these. I just read about these. What is going on here? Like, it's enticing. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, I know, man. For real, though, man. But I don't know, you know. And I think I get better and better with just, you feel me, though, giving explanations of where it's coming from with this. But, I mean, I don't know how long I was, but, man, you know, I used to listen to the Loonies, man. And, you know, I got 5 on it, probably came out when I was in, elementary school or something. I mean, you know, everybody be hype on this culture shit. And, like, you know, everybody got they saying, like, it's a way of life. It's the culture. Nigga, that was just breakfast, waking up in the morning. You feel me? You turn on the red. You feel me? I got 5 on it. You feel you? I don't care who you is, where you at, what country you in. You've heard that phrase. And everybody kind of, you know what I mean, know what that is. And then, I mean, you know, from going, getting $2.50 and pizza with your folks, $2.50 to get some garbage ass weed, like, and thought you were the man doing your thing and shit, man. You know, we going 5-5 on a 10 sack or something, man. A 3-15, like, God damn. All the way to shit, 2021. You got a blunt, diamond infused, and hella shit. Like, what the fuck? What even is that? You know what I mean? You start letting these what they say. You know, they start throwing all the nickel and dime drug dealers in jail where they were just blowing and selling gold weed and LG that light green and giving them motherfuckers 100 years, and then fast forward 20 years later, they talking about some diamond infused weed. Like, hold on, man. They were saying that it was the chemicals and all of it. It's the compounds that get you the time and shit. And what's going on and this and that. And then they like, oh shit, okay, we'll come out of jail now. And then we don't look at y'all so bad no more. Like, God damn. And then you got all the geeks and nerds who done took the weed and told you, no, this weed right here is going to make you really, really sleepy. No, this weed here will make you very, very excited. This weed here, it'll make you smart. Like, God, hold on, man. Didn't the motherfuckers throw me in jail for this shit? Like, God damn, I've been running from the police, hiding this shit. I've been in the closet in the attic for about 50 fucking years. And now you mean I can smoke this shit outside and I can go to a goddamn coffee shop and grab me some and just go about my business?
Crazy.
Man, it's it's a crazy transition, but I mean, you know, for the most part, it's like, I mean, you know, just the whole, like I said, how I look at, you know, putting together businesses in the way that they could come about. And, you know, like I think, like, I mean, realistically, like I think about my family, I think about my people back at home, you know, that would be able to benefit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this opportunity comes right on time. It comes right on time. And then, I mean, you know, the diamond infused, that's just the, you feel me? That's just the extra little, you feel me? Because I mean.
And of course, I meant the THC. That's, I misspoke, but yeah. Yeah, the THC, but yeah, no, it's
no. You good, P? Don't trip. It's, hey, man, you reading right? That's what it's called.
I'm just trying to get your business right, because you got so much. When you had the take care of your chicken viral speech that went viral, did players hit you up, like young guys, like, yo, I need advice? Like, how much did that lead to, like, guys like reaching out, like, yo, like, guide me type stuff?
To be realistic, like, I don't lie, there was a few. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you know, at the same time, like, I don't want to say, you know, like, I believe because I was removed from the game, but I think ones who really serious about their chicken, I think they more so, you feel me, though, will reach out and or, you feel me, though, like, I'll say take heed to what a nigga was saying. But, you know, because I don't do it in the typical, you feel me, though, listen to what I'm saying. I'm finna tell you what to do. You're going to do this and that's going to happen. Or, you know, in a flashy manner. It's more so like, hey, look, check it out, little buddy. I'm going to put it out there in the atmosphere for you. You feel me, on some free game type shit. But at the same time, like, I never tell an individual what to do. I just don't feel like that's my position to tell you what to do. But as far as, you know, putting that out there and letting that shit be known, now I'm going to do that. You're going to do what you're going to do with the information in the game and the knowledge that you get anyway. Now, it's just, I just feel like, okay, as my part, I'm going to put it out there. And you know what I mean? You go ahead and represent, or you take it how you want to. But at the end of the day, I'll never tell somebody what to, like, go and do this, or you have to do this, that, because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're one person, and you feel, you know what I mean, what you got going on is what you got going on, and you might not think taking care of your bread is important. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to knock you for that. That's just how you feel.
Yeah.
At what point are you going to pass Shaq as the premier retired athlete endorser? Because you got a bunch of commercials right now, and you were definitely gunning for Big Shaq at this point. So when are you going to surpass him?
Man, I don't know, big dog, but shit. I mean, you know, at some point in time, you feel me? I mean, like you talking about. I know I've been in room with Shaq, and it wasn't on no, I want to surpass Shaq, right? That wasn't even a fucking thought. It was more so like, fuck, this nigga, this big-ass nigga getting bread from every and which direction.
He endorses everything out there.
Bruh, so I mean, you know, I told you, I'm an information education type of nigga. I might get it and retain it a different way, but at the end of the day, you feel me? I ran into Shaq at the Super Bowl last year, and I pulled him to the side like, big bro, I know we in a setting where this probably ain't, yeah, you know I mean, the type of time and shit, but I'm on that type of time right now. I'm like, man, you gotta let me know how you wiggle. And yeah. I say, he like, man, you know, I noticed, he told me straight up, like, you know, I noticed how, you know, when we came in the room, but when you came in the room, you came through, you said what's up to a couple key people, which was very good. He like, but then you went and sat right here at this corner by the bar. And then I just watched you play the whole room with your eyes. He like, but instead of you going to this corner and playing the whole room with your eyes, he like, get up and maneuver the way that you playing your eye, maneuver your body, your conversation, and set those seeds and all of those individuals who you see, who you know, because you know the right people. Now it's just about going and show them what you got going on and where you want to go. You can't sit over here and make those moves in the corner and shit. And I'm like, well, look, big bro, you know, I like to watch my surroundings and see how to play this and play that. Like, boy, you done retired once, came back, and all kind of shit. Like, you know how to do that already.
Yeah.
Now it's time to go. You beep out that action. But I went ASAP, big bro. You gotta put me on. You gotta show me how to do this shit.
And then Zion, you want to go, and then I have a question about sports betting too, because we're big into sports betting. But I know Zion wants to jump in.
Before I get to the one question I had, we gotta talk about this tweet after the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Super Bowl ended a couple of days ago. So now you're claiming Tom Brady's from the town.
Hey man, hey, look, bro. Is it Bill Russell? Is it Bill? Who got 10?
Yeah, Bill Russell. Yep. 10
Bill Russell. Bill Russell got 10. He's got 10 rings.
Hey, man. Hey, man. All I know is that nigga that Tom Brady done been to, 10 Super Bowls and came walking. So he been to 10 Super Bowls. So that's where the 10-piece chicken McNugget come from. You understand me? And the boy walked away with 7 of them.
Yeah.
One of them, I believe, is mine.
It is. It should be. Yes, correct.
You feel should me, have man? Been one of those. One of,
and then, I mean, you know, the spot that he from in the Bay, I think it just ain't doing him no justice.
He's
though,
on the, yeah, he's on the other side of Oakland.
Because, I mean, you know. Yeah, you know what I mean? He from that side of the Bay. I don't think it's doing him no justice, because you feel me? You seen him go get that little honey badger, like, yeah, you feel me? And I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of like him being from San Mateo and shit, and he going over there. In my mind, when I'm looking at it, like, bruh, like honey badger about to pop this nigga in his mouth or something. But then, you feel me? He come back again. Yeah. Like, he going. I said, hold on, bro. I said, TB12 out there acting like he a straight town goon right now. Hey, man. You feel me? Because, you know, I got respect for both of them. And, you know, a lot of people ain't going to expect Tom to do that. So, you feel me? And then he do it real, you know what I mean? Real gangster and a gentleman like. You know what I mean? He holler at the young. I guess that's what they say. I'm not going to quote that. But I believe I seen something that said he went and hollered at the young bull after the game and shit and told, you feel me? Good game, all the shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, however that played out.
They said that he texted him afterwards, yeah. He texted Honey Badger. Okay.
Well, you know, you feel me? Like, he's solid with that thing. So I did. Hey, bro, you ain't got to go. If you do ever come back to the Bay, you ain't got to go all the way out there, bro. You come slide through the floor, come slide through the ice, you know what I mean? Kick it with me and the squad and shit. You feel me? We maybe slide you some Dodie and shit. We know you getting up there in age, you know what I mean?
I don't know if that's part of the TB12 diet, but yeah.
Nerves or something.
Make it. Add that to the TB12
hey,
diet.
Look, man. Hey, man. It's all good. We'll make it work.
So Zion, we'll finish with yours, but I just got to ask this real quick. So you were in the weed business, but you also have the sports gambling endorsement that you do. What about the sports gambling industry did you see? And I mean, because obviously it's blowing up crazy. More states are passing legislation all the time. So what made that draw to you? You're like, damn, I got to get in this because it's blowing up so fast. Was it something like that?
When I was playing, and I used to have you know, I would come home on my day off, especially when I got to Seattle. But you know, all my folks and shit were, hey Sean, what y'all gonna do this week? Like, hey man, hey, hold on, man, what you talking about, bro? Like, man, get up out of here, bro. You know, I don't be talking about no gambling. Like, man, hey man, y'all gonna bust a spread? Y'all gonna feel me? Woo woo. They want to ask me hella questions, trying to like almost get some inside scoop and hella shit. Tell me, bro, y'all gotta be cool with that, bro. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watch out, you know, I get knocked down. You know what I mean? They looking for me to be in anything besides the game right now, bro. And right. I just, you know, it's always stuck in me. So when the opportunity came, you know, it came around. And then, you know, just because it just played on some, like, we wanted to get some content type shit.
Yeah.
And then the type of content that they wanted to get, it was solid for us because it gave opportunity for, you know what I mean, for me to do all the content with my folks and shit. So I'm like, you know what, this is, you know what I mean, this pretty good opportunity and shit. But then as I started to really peep game on, you know, how I was going, and then the things that I started seeing just, you know, pass by on my radar and shit, I started noticing like a lot of like sporting betting companies started sending like, you know, all, you know, take a look at our business plan, our business model, and blase, blase this, blase, blase that. And I'm just like, you know what? Let me go ahead and get into this, you know what I mean, a little bit more information. Yeah. And then I speak to one of their guys, and the way he started, you know, talking about how he places bets, and just like, I told him like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know nothing about no sports gambling shit. My whole career, you know, I had to stay away from that shit. So even if we walking through the casino in Vegas, they like, you can't be seen walking in this area type shit. So it's like, you know what I mean? Motherfuckers trying to, you know what I mean, stay away from that as much as possible. Now, you feel me? I'm in a position where, you know, I'm out the game and I have an opportunity. Like, he started talking and spitting his words to me, and it's like, it sounded like a computer or something. And so I'm just telling Blood, like, hey, check it out. Run that by me again. I say, matter of fact, just text it to me so I can look at it.
Yeah.
So he just started texting me all kind of shit. And I'm like, yeah, this could be kind of interesting and shit. So I check it out, and then I just call him here and now, and then just to continue to get game from him, just so I can hear him spit that shit. Because the more I hear him spit it, you know what I mean, the more comfortable that I get with it. But at the end of the day, like, I'm really not a gambling type man when it comes to situations like that. But, you know what I mean, just because I ain't don't mean that everybody else ain't. And then just because I don't bet don't mean I don't like talking shit and getting into them conversations with people that is betting. Yeah. So it played out really good for me.
But yeah, I definitely have to ask this question, because obviously you are one of the realest athletes ever to live. Always keep it 100. That's why you're one of my favorite athletes. But even looking in this now, society nowadays, we look at, you know, what has gone on with social justice and stuff like that. We look at the NFL and kind of how they changed their narrative. Remember when you sat during the national anthem and during the Kaepernick era and kind of got criticized for it. And now you look at the NFL, and to me, as a black man, they're doing all this performative stuff of the stuff they kind of killed in the past. What are your thoughts on how the narrative has kind of changed for them?
I believe it's more so just like, one thing that I learned with the NFL is always that, you know, you got to protect the shield. And then I believe that it just showed, you know, when you say the narrative has changed, I don't really believe that it's so much more of the NFL narrative have changed. I believe it's just the individuals that's watching it. Because you got to think, when you first started seeing people, you know, protest or, you know, sit, kneel, stand, or however they, you know, show their solidarity with the black community. You know, the response you again, like, oh, that's disrespectful to this, that's disrespectful to that. And I believe it was just people just speaking out of, because they didn't understand where, you know, those individuals were coming from. So now, you know, when you see all of this shit going on now, and it's like, oh yeah, well, I stand with you black people, and you know, all that blase blase type shit. And then, you feel me, for me, all of that shit just make good for TV or whatever. And I mean, you know, I don't know how it go, but you know, the NFL is shit, probably the best at capitalizing on opportunities, like opportunists when it comes to shit like that. So with this movement, you know, taking the legs that it did and growing so damn big, the NFL couldn't miss out on that goddamn opportunity. You know, they put it, I mean, you know, they put a lot of shit out there and all this shit, but I mean, I don't, and I mean, I'm going to keep it solid with you, big dog. And I mean, you know, I had this conversation with my cousins all the time, Marcus and Josh, just about like when it comes down to, you know, where's all those funds and this and that and the third going? Like, I mean, you know, it's no disrespect or nothing, but anytime I look at those commercials, you know, and it's like, oh, well, we doing X, Y, and Z and blase, blase, you know, for the social injustice and this and that and the third. And I mean, I'm an individual in a situation where, you know, I've been, me and my cousins been having this foundation for 15 years now, where we, you know what I mean, help develop the inner city youth. And when I look at these commercials and I see the youth and shit, not that it's a bad thing, because I don't, you know, I believe in all youth, but, you know, I see a lot of, you know, I'll say diversity in these commercials when, you know, at the end of the day, if it's supposed to be about, you know, the black community or whatever. I mean, I know I go to camps, you feel me though, just all over the, I could say all over the world. But when it comes to looking at, you know, I mean, the neighborhoods in which we grow up in, I'm not seeing those kids represented in those, you know what I mean, in those commercials. So, I mean, you know, I just, you know what I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I just, however, one individual go and take their approach to, you know, what they doing or how they get in, hey, I appreciate it. But then, I mean, you know, just make sure that it count. Because, I mean, you know, I go walk the streets, and I'm not saying I'm better than nobody else, but I go pull up in my hood where my little ones at, who I know, you know what I mean, who not getting that look. And then they get confused by me because they like, oh, when I pull up in a in an Infiniti or in a Honda, they like, oh, I thought you was going to have like this fancy-ass car. Like, oh, I do. It's tucked right now, but you feel me? I pull up like this, and they like, oh, man, I didn't know you was just – oh, you just like one of us. Like, hell yeah. So now it's your turn to go and do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, through all that social justice shit, like, you know what I mean? You know, we talk about it. We, you know, we protest about it. But I feel until we really want a real change, then that's when the shit gonna change. Because I've seen them people go hit the gate at the White House. We call that, they went and hit the fence on that motherfucker. I take it for granted they didn't have, you know what I mean, they didn't have all that security and them goddamn armed forces and shit when they went and pulled up. The motherfucker did it though.
Legit wild, Marshawn. We appreciate you. You literally are leading the way for a lot of this shit, you know, business wise, investments. Like, you were an inspiration to a lot of people, and we appreciate you talking with us about it.
Baby, I just stay out the way and stay in my own lane, man.
But yeah, I mean, you're doing it, and you really are leading the way, and we do appreciate you joining us and, you know, talking to us about it, because I hope people who listen to this really do get inspired by, you know, what you're able to do and everything.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, big dog. Thank y'all for having me, man.
We appreciate it, Marshawn. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir.
That was fun. Adam, Marshawn Lynch, one of a kind.
Yeah. He brought the goods. And
how confused were you when he was talking about weed and like nickel bags and all that?
I know a thing or two, pal. Relax.
Were you like Googling things? Or you just,
no,
like,
I'm hip to it.
Oh, okay, you're hip. Okay.
Yeah.
No, Marshawn's awesome. Marshawn's awesome. And he's really, I think, setting a tone for kind of how to navigate a post-NFL career into a business opportunities, you know?
He's a smarter and savvier guy than I think a lot of people give him credit for. And I do want to see if he can overtake Shaq as the premier athlete endorser, because he is hot in his coattails right now.
When you put on the TV, I see nothing but Marshawn. The Subway commercials, we didn't even talk about Subway with him. The Subway commercials are on 24/7. Like, you see Marshawn on TV so much right now.
Yeah,
like, he is only trailing, it's him and Shaq.
Only trailing Shaq.
Yeah, it's him and Shaq. No, another fun episode. Marshawn was great. Maybe next week we'll see. I think you just got Russell Wilson traded by talking about this earlier in the podcast. I think you like jinxed Russell Wilson staying in Seattle.
Again, I don't know what the odds are in Vegas on him getting traded. I would assume that it is a massive.
Who gets more likely to get traded, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? That's a good one.
I would still lean towards Deshaun because he just seems so adamant in trying to not sabotage, his way. It just seems so preposterous.
What team is more willing to trade the quarterback though? I think it's the Seahawks, Adam.
That's going to be.
Say it's not.
That's going to be like I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. Maybe the Jets. Maybe the Jets.
Darnold.
That's one. I heard second round pick for Darnold for the Jets. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's about as good as you can expect right now.
It seems like if the 49ers strike out on Deshaun, they're going hard after Darnold because Shanahan likes Darnold. And if the Jets can get a second round pick for Darnold and take a QB at 3, I wouldn't take Zach Wilson like everybody's saying. I don't know. There's something about Zach Wilson that I don't love.
I'd have to go back and look at how many games Zach Wilson has played, and obviously the competition at BYU.
He's played a lot.
All right, so he's been a starter there for at least 2 years. I was thinking it was a little bit less, but
I think it's been two.
Yeah, I've seen some of the mock drafts, the Todd McShays of the ESPN having Zach Wilson go to the Jets.
When you look at his tape, Adam, he has so many clean pockets that he's just not going to have in the NFL. And it's just concerning. And I get there's questions about Fields. It's a
very different world in the NFL.
I get there's questions about Fields, but I've just seen Fields against better competition and in situations where, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. McShay, when he released his latest mock draft, he was ranting and raving about how good the tape is on Wilson. And I'm not a tape person. I'm not an evaluator the way Tom McShay is. I stopped a long time ago prognosticating how good these guys can be.
Oh, I'll get into the all 22, Adam. I'll get in there.
I won't. I'll watch. I won't. Like I got better shit to do. But it's
off season. I'm in there.
Some of my Jets fans don't seem too keen on Zach Wilson either. So
there's so many clean pockets. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I mean, if the Jets can get a second round pick for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it ain't going to matter.
Buy him the plane ticket. Say, see you, Sam.
That'd be fine. But I mean, it's not going to matter in the long run anyway. That's still going to suck.
Okay. I mean, I know not everything has been Darnold's fault in New York, and he was with Gase, which is like an impossible thing to do. But second round pick for him? I mean, that's a pretty good return. What Josh Rosen only went for a third, you know? So getting more than that, you know, market value.
I mean, Darnold has more, you know, stats and
he's definitely shown more. Yeah. You know, he hasn't shown a ton, but he's definitely shown more. So, but yeah. All right. Another episode in the books. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the podcast. They're free to download. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Go leave those reviews. Leave those 5-star reviews. Let us know who you guys want to see on the podcast, who you want to hear from in the reviews. Leave those 5-star reviews. We love y'all. Until next time, we'll see you later. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Dodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.